Alrighty. We're still in Proverbs chapter 3. Everybody's going, what? What? I didn't know that. Well, if you've been here, it's kind of like Pastor, I don't know, I heard it at least 2 or 3 times a week for the last month. Pastor's been, you know, announcing Faith Promise, right? Or the meetings and stuff. He'd been announcing, and even for the Lord's Supper, you know, he announced it for about a month before. How many were here that heard that? Well, I heard that about every service. If you're not hearing it, it's because you're not here. I mean, that makes sense, doesn't it? If you're not hearing it, it's because you're not here. And that applies to, even though you may be here physically, sometimes, and pastors told us this, that sometimes he preaches something, and then somebody asks him later on about what he preached. Well, I just explained it up there. I don't know about Sunday school teachers. Same thing in Sunday school. You say something and, you know, you spend 40 minutes. I go a little long sometimes, so 40, maybe 50 minutes on a subject. People come up later on and ask you. It's like, well, where were you for the last hour? Because sometimes we're here, but we're not here. Okay? Our mind is somewhere else on the things of the work, the politics of the day. Are the Democrats going to win? Are the Republicans going to win? Do we have salvation in a political party? No. Okay? Our mind is on the wrong thing. Or, during sports season, my team is going to make it to the Super Bowl. Or other things. You know? The price of gas. The price of food. Is the food even available? I am beginning to more and more appreciate my little store in Rathdrum, Idaho. Years ago, they started sourcing from local people, Prairie Farms. That's where they get their meat, their meat. They got another place they get the eggs and the poultry. That has not been off the shelf this year. Okay, the price of those things has not skyrocketed like I come over here to Washington and we shop over here. It's like, wow, this is like expensive, you know, jaw dropping. Ah, in Idaho, they haven't risen, or in that little store, they haven't risen that much. I appreciate my little store, okay? And I appreciate what it does. They've gone ahead, and I don't know if they were looking ahead or they thought, well, COVID taught us a lesson. We're going to outsource and support the people that are local. And it really is good. It's actually not bad meat either, you know? You can still buy a 30-pound chub of brisket for about $4 a pound. But you got to buy, you know, 40 bucks worth, you know, but still, it's like, wow, that's not bad. You know, $4 a pound, $3.98. Sometimes it gets up to $4.98, but it's like, wow, yeah. But our mind could be on stuff like that, on the things of the world. When you start reading in the Bible, you see that Solomon, the same author of the Song of Solomon and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, in Ecclesiastes, it's later on in his life, and you see that a lot of his focus is on the things of the world. It's on, and to me, I don't care what you say about a bunch of other books, but the Ecclesiastes has always been a heavy book. It seems like sometimes there's not a whole lot in there that you can gain onto, except for one thing. When you start thinking that this was Solomon, a man who was once a godly man, a man that God asks, name it and I'll give it to you. That's a paraphrase if you didn't know. Okay, name it and I'll give it to you. I don't know, God's never asked me that. Has he asked you that? A man who was so spiritual, okay, who was the son of a man that was after God's own heart. Okay? A child that David delighted in, and a man that God delighted in. Later on in his life, the Bible tells us, that he allowed his wives to shift his heart away from God, to separate him, to get that wedge in between him and God. Right? Pastor's been talking about our enemy, our adversary, the devil. Right? And at first, I'm one of those that we don't need to know about Satan. You know, we don't have to have, you know, lesson after lesson. Oh, come on. But you know, when Paul says we are not ignorant of his devices, it's because Paul has already taught these people his devices. the deceitfulness, the liar that he is. Hey, that song we just sang, "For our ancient foe still seeks to work us woe." If we're not aware of what our enemy does, we can let our enemy distract us, get our mind off of things, even here in church. Even here in God's house where we come, I know I'm coming in because of Sunday morning, my alarm went off, and it's like, you know, I'm coming here, I get dressed on purpose, my mind is on purpose when I drive here to get here. Do you ever notice that about driving? You can't just put it on cruise control and get to your place? No. You got to be in the driver's seat. You got to pay attention. You got to do it with a purpose. And we all purposed in our hearts this morning to be here. You know how I know? Because we're here. And not by accident. Okay? We have a long way to go from here, my house to here. And it's not that long. I grew up in L.A. traffic. I know what a long traffic drive is. Okay? I really do. And we have to do it with a purpose, with an idea. This is what I'm going for, to listen, to hear. But sometimes, like I said, our mind is still somewhere else. Somewhere else other than right here. Okay? And sometimes, even if our mind is here, it's like half here. And we only half hear what the speaker says. And then we get off on a tangent. Okay? Only the teacher and the preacher is allowed to go on a tangent, by the way, okay? Just to let you know. Only allowed to chase rabbits. But sometimes our mind goes off and we start thinking about other things. Something that has distracted us. Something that has got our attention other than the things of God. Okay? My wife and I were talking about a song on the way in today. And it's one of those songs that are echoing songs. You know what I mean? You take the church, divide it in half. One half of the church sings a certain portion of the song. The other half sings a certain portion of the song. This is the day that the Lord has made. That's what the song is. This is the day that the Lord has made. Anyway, we figured, well, there's not enough people here for that. Okay. And then I got to start thinking, maybe that doesn't work in a lot of churches. I know Brother Anchor wanted to do those rounds, you know, where you do the things like that, and people wouldn't do it. And I got to thinking, I wonder why that is. Because when we're in church, okay, it seems like we don't want to pay attention to other people that are in the church. Because we're not here for ourselves. Yes, we are here to learn from the Word of God. We're here to learn spiritual principles and precepts that God has put down. To increase our own personal study. To increase our own personal efforts in this thing. But the idea is also here, as steel sharpeneth steel, as iron sharpeneth iron. To encourage one another. To be here for one another. And I got to thinking, that doesn't work in some churches because that means that as you sing the song, the second people have to pay attention to the first part. Okay? And a lot of people don't want to pay attention to other people here in the church. When you come together. When you come together, Paul says a couple of times, when you come together, as God would have wanted to wrap his arms around Israel, God wants to wrap his arms around us together as a group, to give us a group hug. Not to make us feel, you know, to get better about ourselves, but to make us feel spiritually better and whole and at rest and at peace. I've been in a bunch of churches with a bunch of people. There are some people come to church, they are not at rest. They are not at peace. Okay? With themselves and God or with themselves and other people in the church. When we come here, we've got to be that way. And you know, pastor has said this in times, and I've said it in times, this altar of God is not just for the invitation at the end of a message. And I know that's rude. I turn my back on you quite a bit, but this altar of God is not here for the end of the message only. If you got something that's like 15 minutes into the message that God's weighing on your heart, come down. Get it taken care of. When we come together here, we should have certain things settled, taken care of. I'm here to hear from God. I don't care who the preacher is going to be. This week we're going to have a couple people up in the pulpit. Some of them will be exciting. Some of them may not. I don't know. Brother Kistler was one of those. He was good at running around. Okay. But the idea is that we are not here just for the person to listen to it, but the precepts, the concepts, the principles, pardon me, that are here, that are being put forth to listen. Stephen, was it Stephen? I can't remember now. In the book of Acts, this line is said, save yourself from this crooked generation. And we do that, first of all, by being straight and right with each other here. Okay. We have to do that because we're children of God, part of the same family. And if we're not going to pay attention to each other here, where do we pay attention to? What do we give our attention to? You know? I know some people in the past and some in other churches, if we have certain people preaching, we bring in special preachers. Oh, if he's going to be there, I'm not coming. He's just... I've told you about the one preacher we used to have. Looked like Henry Gibson from Laugh-In, and I don't know if anybody remembers that. I do. I was a child when it happened, when I was watching it on TV. And he spoke kind of like Henry Gibson did, the actor. And it's like, you know, there's nothing there. But I came because it's not here for the person. Here for the subject matter. Here not only for myself and my own good, but for other people. This morning, after working outside yesterday, I was surprisingly felt pretty good this morning. I really did. Okay. And that was about 2 o'clock in the morning. Got up. I said, hey, I feel pretty good. Went back to bed. Got up later. And it's like... oh, man, what happened? I felt good back then. How come I don't feel good now? It's like, oh. I could have let that take over and not be here this morning. But then I got to thinking, well, if I'm not here, pastor's got to lead singing, and or Brother Daniel, or, you know, Brother Daniel more than pastor, come on. He even admits it. Let's go. That's good. Be honest here. Or somebody else that had to do Sunday school, you know, that's an undue pressure that I would have put on somebody else. Plus, I got something for somebody. I don't know if you're it, but I got something for you. The idea is even the pain in our body sometimes is not to distract us from the things of God. Okay? I really appreciate work days. There are people who come who have physical ailments that come here and work anyway. Brother Sundin, man, he got to the end there where he could hardly even breathe half the time. Okay. And he used to be here on work days until he couldn't make it anymore. But he used to, no, did he do a lot? No. He rested outside, he'd rest on a rake or a shovel or something. That was his job. He'd talk to us, it'd be great, but he was here. He was here. He didn't allow that to distract himself from the fellowship. I know pastor likes to call that our work days a fun time. The fun and work day. I don't know, we had some pretty good fun yesterday. I don't know. We did. But it was still one of those things where you don't let things distract you. Get your mind off why we're here. We are not here for ourselves. We are here for to worship God. On a work day? Yeah, we can worship God on a work day. Because we're all here as one in a fellowship. Not here butting heads with each other. We do this. Work together. And that's the way it should be in our, as we do things here in church. Work together. Pray for each other. You don't like the way I do Sunday school? Fine, pray for me. Okay? You don't like the way some preachers preach or some people sing? Fine, pray. Pray, number one, that it gives glory to God. Not that it's done perfectly, but it gives glory to God. Save yourself from this crooked and perverse generation is a thing not for salvation, but to protect yourself from the effects of this crooked and perverse generations. To set yourself aside, to be truly sanctified. Not only in your heart with God, with your soul, but also with your life. To be set apart from the other people, from the rest of the world. Paul says these things must be made manifest, so that way the righteous people can be made manifest from the unrighteous people. So the people will see there is a difference between us and the lost. Between faithful saved people and unfaithful saved people. Yeah, Christians give Christians a bad name. The book of Proverbs, getting back, what's this all? This is where it comes back to the book of Proverbs. Teaches us how to be wise and righteous in our thought and our deed. Solomon says this is the way a righteous man behaves. This is the way a righteous person thinks. This is what a righteous person does. Not for works, lest any man should boast, but because he's a child of God. I claim to be a child of God. I claim to be a member of this church. I'm here. Versus an unrighteous person. The unrighteous person who's wicked, who is foolish in the way he does things, in the way he conducts life. And that's mannerisms and morality. Okay. This day and age, morals have been preempted by politicals, by the politics. And churches can't discuss politics. Yes, we can. We can discuss politics in this church. Discuss, not argue. We can discuss morality in this church. Yes, it is immoral for a woman to take the life of their unborn child. Okay. Idaho has some pretty stringent laws now, and nobody likes it. The governor of this state said, hey, you want abortion? Come over here. What? You want to kill your baby? This is the place to do it. And he said that proudly. Proudly. Idaho said, hey, look, you're not going to take a minor child across state lines for that to happen. Or for their physical alteration on their body. Okay. We're going to make that illegal. Why? Without the parents' permission. Why? Because they're still minors. They're still under the care of their parents. They're still under the care of their parents. The parents must give permission for things to, you know, that your school nurse cannot give, if there are any. When I was a child, school nurse could not give aspirin without the parents' permission in school. Yeah, she could bring out the alcohol pad and, you know, scrub wounds and stuff like that, but anything else, you had to get parents' permission. Doctors would equivocate, when I was a kid, over doing stuff on a kid until they get the parents' permission. We can't do this until the parents say yes. But now we have this attitude that you can take a child from their parents without their parents' permission, without the parents' knowledge, that some stranger can take them across the state line. A state line, now it becomes a federal law because that's kidnapping. Across the state line. And how is it kidnapping? Because they're still a minor. And do stuff over here in this state, and this governor says, it's okay. You can do it. You won't be prosecuted. Idaho says, yeah, we will prosecute you for taking that child. Wow. I kind of like that. That's why I live over there. Because we let stuff like that distract us from morality that God has set down. Solomon is trying to teach us morality. The morality of God. Not of man. Personally, if I'm left to my own devices, I will destroy myself and take others with me. Yep. I am that honest with myself and you guys. To know that I got to be on guard on this stuff. I got to be like Paul says, watch ye, stand fast. Be careful of what you do, of what you think, of how you behave. Okay? It is not my goal to offend. If I do, let me know. Okay? I'll make it right. Because it's up to us here when we come together to seek the same God, to have fellowship in the Holy Spirit one with another, to come and worship the God who loved us first and gave his life for us. Thursday night, I can never remember his name. Thursday night, brother. Who? Rob, what's his last name? Dotson. Okay, Brother Dotson. He gave us a message. I kind of enjoyed it. Okay? It's like, yeah. His message was Proverbs 29. And I forget the verse now. Where there is no vision, 29:18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. I thought that was appropriate. And I kind of came up and said, man, this was what we needed. Because we got a vision coming up. The vision of worldwide missions. Don't we? Isn't that what this week is all about? It's about worldwide missions. And if the people that we support, we take stock of ourselves, she's going to bring us a number next Sunday night that says, hey, we vowed before God, not before man, we didn't make it an out loud thing. We vowed before God that we would put this much in. We wrote out these little cards and, you know, the promise cards. They're back there. This will be about the sixth, seventh time you've heard that. They're back there. Okay. Of what God has put, the number God has put on our heart to give. Not something I made up, because if I look at my, if we go out here and we look at our ledger and we look at all our things and we look at our budget and everything, we're not going to be able to do this, babe. We can't do it. It's like, okay, this is one of those things where the left hand does not need to know what the right hand is doing. Okay, I did it backwards. The left hand doesn't need to know what the right hand is doing. Okay. God doesn't expect you to be emotional about it, though. You've seen those preachers come to Jesus, and they do their thing, and they, you know, trying to get people to come up and, you know, kneel at the altar. Not to be some emotional thing, not to be some cold, calculating mental thing, but a spiritual thing where you've gotten together with God in your alone time and said, God, I agree with you that this is important, worldwide missions. That the gospel must be gotten out. And how can these missionaries go out and spend 5, 10, 15 years on deputation just to get one-third of their support? Holy moly, that's like, huh? You gotta be kidding me. We've had a couple recent, well, we plan on being there next year. It takes faith. It also takes faith of the people that they go preach to. That God will get a hold of that church's heart and support them. Support them, not necessarily the mission work. We have the Hays. They're in Spain right now. They started out in Ireland. We supported them when they were in Ireland. Them. And then they got kicked out. Ireland said, hey, we're not going to take your junk no more. Get out of here. It's like, no, you got to be kidding me. Ireland? We were expecting, you know, China or some of the Russian countries and stuff. No, Ireland. Out. Wow. Well, that's okay. Here's Spain. So we support them in Spain. That's where they're at. Brother Fafawina and his family. Worked in Samoa for years. There's a couple of churches he set up down there. The people are faithful. They're growing. So he got, I think God, you know, okay, I haven't talked to him personally, but I think he's there praying one day, and, you know, God says, hey, there's that little, there's that over there. Remember the Macedonian call? Everybody loves that, don't they? But Paul's praying one day, and all of a sudden this guy in Macedonia pops up into his mind and says, hey, come over here. And he didn't want to go there. He wanted to go continue on his journey. The Macedonian guy says, hey, come here. And Paul says, is that what you want, God? And Paul said, God says, yeah. Paul, okay. That's the way I imagine. In my mind, I imagine it happened with Brother Fafawina and his family. Because the family is part of the missionary thing, too. I really like this church does something special for the missionaries' wives at Christmas. They like it, too. How many, thank you very much for this gift. Thank you very much. My wife is part of this, and she needs to know that she's felt that she feels special, too. Seems like everybody, it's all about the missionary. No. The missionary, even pastor's wives, they got to be part of that mission. Remember, when God called Abraham, he did not only call Abraham, he called Sarah. Yeah, because she had to be the parent. She had the one to bear Isaac. It's like, you're kidding me. Yeah, she's part of it. So their wives are part of it. So the missionary team, they're in New Zealand now. Doing pretty good, I guess. And it's like, you know, we have to be careful that we're not distracted by the things of the world to the things of the world rather than the things of God. Don't be taken up in this perverse and crooked generation. Brother Dotson brought forth a message to set a vision before us. Otherwise, the people perish. Otherwise, the people languish. Otherwise, the people are just, oh, I don't know what to do. Well, there's the vision coming up. Faith Promise Missions. It's a vision that God's going to put on our heart. It's a vision that we want to see stuff done. We want to support missionaries. Not just any old missionary. Not just some good old boy stuff. There are plenty of the ABA church I belonged to for years. They would send out letters, hey, we recommend this guy. Well, why doesn't this guy come here and make his case? I really liked that when I started coming to this church, 2000, that the missionaries come here, we get to meet with them, they're candidating for the job of being our missionary. We get to meet them, we get to know them, we get to ask them questions, find out when they were saved, how they were saved, know this person, and ask God, should we support that person? We have a couple people on hold right now that we're thinking about, praying about, hoping that God gives us the vision about. Praying that God gives us the vision about these people. Man, isn't that a great thing? The vision. Remember Brother Dave when he first came up here? I'm not going to start something. I'm going to go and be involved with what God has already started. Ooh, that was exciting. That's the first time I've ever heard somebody do that. I'm going to go and be involved with what God has called me to be involved with. His Macedonian called, hey, come over here to this terrorist nation. Come over here where, you know, the people hate Americans. Come over here where the people hate Christians and Jews. And witness to us. Preach the word of God. And he took his family and he said, okay, we're going. I like being involved in that vision. And we all know about the health problems with baby Joy. Is that her name? Yeah, that's her name, Joy. She's no longer a baby now, by the way. Do you know that? She's a toddler. She's up walking around. She's like, wow, 4 years old. Thank you. Pat handed me the four-year-old sign. It's like, okay. It's like, wow. Yeah, she still has health problems. We're still praying about it, but he wants to go someplace else now. I have another Macedonian calling me here. Calling me over to this place to bring my family. Yeah, and even my poor little sick child. And he says, okay, God, if that's where you want me to go. Here am I, send me. Wow. when you put it in that terms, it's like, man, we read it in the Bible, say, oh man, if only that would happen these days. It does. What we have to do is reestablish that vision for our missions conference, reestablish that vision for the world. We got these flags up here that represent places that we support. Reestablish the vision in our mind that God has called these people to go and witness. Brother Madel in Canada, and I can't remember the rest of them. Brother Hull in Idaho. Missionary to those imprisoned youth. And then when they get out, he fellowships with them. He encourages them. He teaches them the things of God. Where is our vision for that? Yeah, they got the vision. They got the spark where they're at. How come we don't let that fan on fire, the spark in our heart, and become that fire? Instead, we let the world get a hold of our heart, our mind, maybe not our heart per se, but at least our mind, and direct our attention to something else. Something that has no eternal consequences. Something that has no future. Something that is just temporary. Yeah, something that's just temporary. We don't see the forever thing. We don't see that vision of souls being saved. And take a personal interest in that. Take a personal interest. I mentioned this before. First time I met Brother Wally and Sister Donna is the first time I'd ever been exposed to that. You know, we're going to meet the missionary. Really? Yeah, the church we attended over in Coeur d'Alene, we had a missions conference. And he came, he had his little board, he had his little thing. Man, I can't wait to get back home. Well, aren't you over from Washington? Yeah, but I can't wait to get back home. Where's home? The Philippines. Back to my family, the people that are there. God had gotten so hold of his heart. This was not his home anymore. That was home. That, his Macedonian call to the Philippines. And the people there, they're getting ready to retire. We have to pray about that because Brother Wally and Sister Donna, they have the vision. They have that drive. This is where we need to be. This is where we want to be because that's where God has called us to be, is there with these people, loving on them. Oh, Brother Ekno, man. With the lepers? Oh, for crying out, I mean, lepers? I mean, and you see him hugging and kissing these people? Come on. That's his Macedonian call. From where he is at over to Sri Lanka. And now, I am embracing the people God has called me to. We need to find, pray that, that God brings up a person with that same attitude and love. And that first of all, God would this week strike our heart. That we would have that same love and compassion. Oh yeah, well, you know, some people don't deserve it. Well, you didn't deserve it. You were ungodly, unholy. You were an antichrist. Oh no, I wasn't. Yes, you were. Because God says, if you're not for us, you're against us. That's the only two ways it goes. Well, that's pretty mean. That's pretty hard-hearted. Well, yeah. But you got to tell it to God, not me. All I know is that God loved me. He gave himself for me. And I am now fellowshipping with God through the Holy Spirit and you guys. And prayerfully, hopefully this vision will spark us in our heart and will bring us once again to love the lost as God wants us to, not as we ought to. We say that, well, I know I don't do this as I ought to do it, and I don't do that as I ought to do it. No. It says God wants us to do it. I don't love the people any more than God wants me to love the people. I don't love any more than the way God wants me to love. Yeah, there's sometimes my mind starts getting in things and boy, it messes up my thoughts real quick. But we need to get back to where our vision is on God. That we're not distracted from this crooked and perverse generation. Yeah, that's a thing that was said 2,000 years ago. Still true today. We have a crooked and perverse generation. Some of them even stand and claim to be Christian. Well, as we read in the book of Proverbs, we can tell who aren't. Who is and who isn't. Who is and who ain't. Yeah, that's my better English. But it's like, man, when are we going to get that vision here in our mind? We had wound up at the end of chapter 3. We were at verse 29, despise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwells securely by thee. And I went through the explanation of who is my neighbor? Who is my brother? If your brother offend thee, forgive them. Well, God, Jesus, how many times do I have to forgive him? 7 times? It's like, yeah, 7 is easy to count because that's like this, you know, it only takes 2 hands. Jesus said, no, forgive him 7 times 70 times. Carry the one. Okay, 490 times. I don't know about you. I can't count that on both hands and my feet. And I bet you, though, there are some people that went away with that. Oh, he offended me. That's one. Bet you they got out their little card, scorecard. Man, I'm at like 300, man. I only got to forgive people 190 more times. It's like, really? You missed the point. It's not about us forgiving people. It's about us saying, go your own way. Do what you're going to do. Jesus told Lazarus, no, not Lazarus. Jesus told the disciple, do whatever you got to do, go ahead and do it. Do it now. And it's like, you know, we can't seem to let that go. You're going to do what you're going to do, but as for me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord. Yeah, we have those great statements. It's funny, I have taken a bunch of great statements and just wrapped them up into one thing right now. About righteousness. Okay? About having a vision with the people. About having the vision. I envision one day to have every church member here in services. As well as newly saved people. And it's like, yeah, well, how about the people that say, I'm a child of God, I belong to Independent Baptist Church in Millwood, Spokane. It's like, where are they? Let's pray for them, that they're here, that they come to partake, to be a part of us. Paul had a thing for people that stopped coming to church. They left us because they weren't a part of us. If they were a part of us, they would still be here. That's kind of a hard thing to get, but that's true. The only time I'm missing a part of my body is when somebody takes it out. True? I'm missing teeth because somebody yanked it out. It didn't get up and leave of its own volition. Did it? No. And tooth, I had one that was infected and stuff like that, and they took it out and said, whoa. Oh, you had more infection than there. They took it out. Whoa. This is no longer part of my body because it didn't want to be here. It didn't want to be there. Appendicitis is, you know, appendix? Appendicitis? I'd never had my appendix removed, by the way, but some people have. They say, oh, yeah, I got my appendix removed. Yeah, why? Because your appendix no longer wanted to be here, and it hurt. It hurt the entire body. But the appendix was diseased. Sometimes when people leave church, it's because they're diseased. It's because they have something at odds with the church, with the body that's there. And all we got to do is, like Paul, go. Paul had pity on them because they have made shipwreck of their life. They left us. because they weren't part of us. You know? But we are members one of another. You know what that means? It means we're attached to each other. Well, I'm not attached to you. Yes, you are, by the Holy Spirit of God. By the same Spirit of God that resides in all of us, you're attached, whether you like it or not. You know? And people do things and they say things like, oh, that's just me. No, you're including everybody else. Anybody ever come by a still pond of water? What's the first thing we do as kids? Pick up a rock, pop, 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 skip it. That's perfect, isn't it? What happens when that rock skips across there? There's all these little circles, concentric circles that come out from that, isn't it? We all have that same effect around us in this life. Okay? The splash it makes, and then the effects it has as it spreads out. Sometimes we don't care about the effects. In boating, I learned that they have a thing called wake laws. If you're so close to the shore, you're not allowed to go over a certain speed because the wake of your boat will hit that shore and cause problems. It'll erode the shoreline. Spirit Lake has that. For about the first couple hundred yards, once you leave the dock, you got to go slow. So as not to leave a wake. Why? Because that wake goes up there and it hits against the shore and erodes that shore, and those people that are living there, pretty soon their house is in the ground, in the water. Wow. And I've heard some people, no, that's not right. I should be able to just boom, come out of that thing and do the thing. They don't care about the effect that they have on other people when they do things. They don't care. We need to be very careful. Our vision needs to be the thing. How does it affect our vision? Well, our vision for missions conference this week is about seeing lost souls saved, come to Christ, about them being ministered to, and them coming to a knowledge of Jesus Christ and then being secure in that knowledge. Brother Ekno, man, he gives them goats, helps them to raise goats. Goats are hard to raise. Actually, goats are easy to raise. But you know, baby goat is so cute, but you got to raise that thing to butcher. But they're cute. With their funny looking eyes, their big floppy ears. It's like, and they have fur on them. I wanted to raise goats for a while there. Dropping off a passenger a couple weeks ago. The daughter comes out. She has a little baby goat. Yeah, mama rejected this, so I'm bottle feeding it. Oh, it looks so cute. Here. I'm not going to hold it. No, don't let me hold it. Well, pet it. I pet it. Oh, nice and soft. Little baby. But Brother Ekno gives them the goats. He asks us to fund that. Brother Ekno comes up and says, we got to build him a house. Not a 3 or 4 bedroom house with, you know, a couple of bathrooms and everything. No, a 2 room house. Bedroom, bathroom. Or maybe the bathroom's outside. I haven't quite got my mind. But, you know, a kitchen, a place to cook and a place to sleep and a bathroom. He asks for money, provide him water. So that way they can see the love of God in perfect, in person, carried out. Proverbs tells us about all these things. It's the love of God that's carried out to its fullest extent toward others. Strive not with a man without cause if he had done thee no harm. Envy thou not the oppressor. It's like, you know, there are things that we do as saved, righteous people who claim to be children of God, who claim, well, I'm a member of Independent Baptist Church in Millwood. I want to say California, because I'm Northern California, there's a Millwood, California, but it's been forever since I've been there. Millwood, Washington. It's like, wow. And yet, sometimes we don't act like it. We're not here all the time. We're not supportive of each other when we are here. We're divided. We need to come together, and especially this week, like I said, because the vision has got to be there toward the lost. Not only for the lost in all the world, as we see our flags, but for the lost in this neighborhood. that we pray for these people. We're getting to know these guys across back here. He knows their name. The guy across the street over there. He wanted to mow our lawn for free, by the way, one time. I don't know if you guys knew that. He had bought himself a riding lawnmower. He says, hey, I want to come over there and do your lawn. I'm not even going to charge you gas. We used to know these people here. Well, two or three people before the ones that just left. It's like, you know, not only is faith promise about the world, oh yes, it is about the world, but the world that starts here. Remember, the concentric circles. I heard it put this way, the concentric circles of concern. Your family, Judea, Samaria, the entire world. But it all starts there. And the church family here is the beginning of that. The fellowship we have one with another. The love that we have one for another. The idea that, hey, our vision needs to start here with each other. Hey, you guys got 6 days, 7 days, Monday through Sunday, 7 days, to get on God's playbook, not your own. It's like, wow, man. Okay, we're out of time. Matter of fact, I've gone over again, so I apologize for that. But as we think about that, as we think about what's going on, let God give us the vision. Ask God, give me that vision. Show me the Macedonian you want me to go to and the place you want me to be. Show me the amount you want me to give this year for the faith promise. Show me who you would have us to support. Like I said, we got two people on the line right now. Is it only two? Whether or not. And other people, they have special things, whether or not we're going to support some of those things. And I know the first thing, well, do we have the money? My first observation is, do we have the faith? Do we believe in God that He would take care of us, our health needs, our bodily concerns? Do we believe in God that all this would happen and we sacrifice what He asks us to sacrifice? Remember, we would have nothing if He didn't give it. If He did not give it freely to us, we would not have it freely to give to somebody else. Oh, part of that just above those verses was also having the things laid in store to give to people. Don't be stingy, God says, with your time, with your money, with your affections. Don't be stingy with your faith promise. Pastor doesn't preach that, by the way. He never preaches to people about money, about the tithe, the offering, and the giving. Why? Because then people come up and they accuse him. All you preach about is money. That's where your love is. Come on, get real. That's not where his love is, you can tell. And a person that does that, throws that accusation, to me, it's like, well, you're skinflint. That's why, of all the things he's preached over the years, he's very rarely even spoke on money. Except the time that we didn't have money. Remember that way back when he first got here? And he said, well, I don't want to stop giving to our missionaries. It's like, wow. But we made up for it, and then some. Let God touch your heart. Gracious Heavenly Father.